Hey everybody, this is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm good. Sunday, relaxing, watching Simpsons.
Getting ready to watch the marathon?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, that's first on the order of business before we jump into this week's episode. We are going to discuss the FXX. It's just strange to say FXX. And they recently acquired the rights for all of The Simpsons, syndication rights. And they are going to launch that by having a marathon of every episode from the beginning of the series to where it is now, which is crazy. It's kind of an interesting idea. There was some speculation that they were going to just be an All Simpsons channel, All Simpsons all the time. They're not going to do that, but they are going to have lots of marathons. They're going to have run-ups to new episodes for the current new episode of a new season. It's going to have Krusty. They're going to do like a Krusty. They'll do a whole run of Krusty shows on the channel. The thing that's more exciting for me is alongside the marathon and these, I don't know what you want to call them, the run-ups to the new episodes, is a thing called Simpsons World, which is basically online web presence of The Simpsons, kind of like HBO Go or Netflix, but only about The Simpsons. It's going to have every episode available online on demand. It will also have curated content, like people will have like playlists of certain things. If you want to just watch all the Treehouse of Horror episodes, for instance, they will have like scripts. You can read the scripts as you watch the show. They'll have fan voting and all kinds of really interesting things. That's really exciting for me, and that's the thing that I'm more interested in than just the marathon. Even though the marathon is pretty cool.
That's true. I mean, honestly, it sounds kind of like, this is kind of a blasphemous to say, but Pottermore, but for The Simpsons. It's more like Simpsonmore.
Yeah, it kind of is, honestly. It's just like, you want Simpsons stuff? Here, go to this website. It has everything. The only thing that's, I dislike about it is that it requires, you do have to be subscribed to FXX, or at least have access to a login of someone who is.
Which we've all got parents, right?
Yes, we all have parents who still subscribe to cable and satellite. So, but yeah, it's very exciting. I'm really interested in the curated content. I think that's interesting. I hope they actually get some of the people, like some of the creators involved with it. And that will even make it more interesting if they have, additional content behind the scenes stuff that
I also think it'd be really nice in that vein if they had a set of the creators. Perhaps, a run of episodes that were all by the same producer, the same writer, so you could see commonalities across them. So all the Al Jean and Mike Rice episodes were played back-to-back, so you can kind of see what commonalities and interesting things they are together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what they're working on. But we will see it when it debuts. We will be talking about it. With that, we're going to jump into this week's episode, which is episode 7G06, Moaning Lisa. It is written by the aforementioned Al Jean and Mike Rice, big names in the history of the series. Showrunners, writers, they've done tons. Al Jean is the current showrunner. Directed by Wes Archer, also I direct a lot of episodes, a big influence on the show. Originally aired on February 11th, 1990. The chalkboard gag is "I will not instigate revolution," which is pretty good. And the couch gag is Maggie gets popped out and is caught in the air by Marge. It's cute.
It's a classic. Yeah. They go back to that one a lot.
It always works. It's always satisfying.
It's true. It seems like a lot of the ones in the first season tend to be very similar. So someone falls off the couch. Aha.
Yeah.
Simple gag.
Yeah, simple. This is a Lisa episode. The first, really. First centered around Lisa. It starts off with her just sad. She's just kind of glum in a mirror. And there's even, I think if you look in the background of that first scene, there's a little toothpaste that says glum on it. I caught that when I was watching it. She's just hanging around the house. Homer, can't find his keys. They're in the front door.
Of course.
Lisa's disappointed. Marge only has two cupcakes. Why are they eating cupcakes for breakfast?
That's a great question, but you never know. It's The Simpsons. It's like a muffin. It's a muffin with frosting,
That is true. That's muffins are cupcakes with, are just, cupcakes without frosting. But she only has two. Lisa, being sad and down on herself, just says, "Give them to Homer and Bart." They're totally oblivious and give each other high fives for getting cupcakes. They all go to school. Lisa, she's playing My Country Tis of Thee?
Yes, My Country Tis of Thee.
In music class. And they sound terrible. And she starts improvising, bebopping, you know, playing her own solo, which is way better than anything the class was playing. And Mr. Largo immediately quells that creativity. Go ahead.
He squashes it, as the public school systems are known to do.
Lisa starts saying, yeah, I'm playing for all the, you know, the hard people who work, you know, all the immigrants and people who are working hard and not making, you know, trying just to make it another day and all this. And Mr. Largo says, you know, none of those awful people are going to be at the recital. Let's start from the top again. And she's, you know, has to go back playing this awful version of My Country Tis of Thee. She goes, she's in the lunchroom and her friends are wondering why she's so sad. Bart starts a food fight and they ask her why she's not participating. And she goes, I choose not to participate.
Which might as well be her motto for a little while.
Yeah, it is. She goes playing dodgeball. The gym teacher's like, this is a game of dodgeball. And she asks her, why won't you play dodgeball? She says, I'm too sad. And she just gets pelted.
That's what happens. Kids will find the weaknesses.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're not playing? Well, then you get hit.
Easy target.
She goes home, where we find Bart and Homer playing Super Slugfest, a boxing video game. Is the first video game? Like the first official branded video game that's appeared?
It is, and it is totally not a veiled reference to Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
No, not at all. The slightest. No, exactly. But this is basically going to encapsulate the B story of this episode. Bart and Homer are playing this game. They both are playing boxers in the game that look like them. Bustle, giant, muscly versions of themselves. And Bart is destroying Homer. I believe he's beaten him 49 times in a row.
I believe that is the correct number, yes.
Yeah, he's beaten him 49 times in a row, destroys him again. I believe the match ends with him knocking Homer's head off.
Well, isn't that how all matches should end?
Yeah, that's how real boxing goes. People's heads just fly off. But Marge surprises, Marge, you know, interrupts the game with a note. And Homer, of course, thinks it's Bart at first, a note from school. And Marge goes, no, it's for Lisa. And everyone's shocked.
Which, well, they should be, because obviously Lisa's never had a problem in school before.
Not a problem, but the note, I love it. Lisa refuses to play dodgeball because she is sad.
No explanation, no further details. The school doesn't even want to care. They're like, just fix her and then send her back to us.
Yeah, exactly. The whole family's trying to cheer her up at first. Homer takes her on his knee, fails at cheering her up. She appreciates that he's trying.
Well, I think Bart's attempt is by far the best. It turns into a competition about who does Maggie love more?
Yes, yeah, they try and stand on both sides, and Maggie is between them, and come to the one you love most. And there's a moment of drama before she goes straight towards the television and hugs it.
Which, I mean, honestly, when it comes between your siblings and the TV, or in these days, computers, which would you pick, really?
Television or computer comes first. Siblings can't match up to that.
No, definitely not. They don't love you the same way the internet does.
No, but eventually she goes upstairs, and she starts playing her saxophone. Homer goes up to complain about the noise, sees that she's so sad, tells her, you know, you can. She's like, no, I'll just clack my fingering.
Is that not too loud? Is it dead?
No, clack, 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 clack. But this leads to her hearing a saxophone off in the distance. And she goes and finds out what it is. We don't really see her, like, escape from the house. I assume she just walked out the front door.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's the smart one. She's going to... She probably just walked out the back door, went around in front. No one bothered to look at her.
Yeah, no one notices her. So she finds Bleeding Gums Murphy, who is a jazz man, who just plays on the street, I guess, for money. That's what the implication is.
He's just out there busking it.
Yeah, exactly. This is the technically the very first guest star. Ron Taylor does an excellent job as Bleeding Gums Murphy. He is just playing, you know, blues on the street or jazz. I think they're kind of vague on that.
It's just whatever he feels like playing, really.
Yeah, exactly. He's playing sax. And she, you know, she kind of identifies with him. He's like this kind of this sad loner figure. And she kind of identifies that she's kind of feels the same way. And she, they start jamming together. He plays a song, a blues song, and she plays one as well. He remarks that you play pretty well for someone with no real problems.
Which, you know, they're problems to her, so yeah, you know, it's exactly. Kind of unfair. But
yeah, it's, well, to an adult man who's probably destitute.
Yeah.
Can't afford to go there. Yeah, and also the great quote of, why do they call you Bleeding Gums? Great quote. We'll see. Maybe if we have it, you'll hear it right now.
My friends call me Bleeding Gums.
Ew, how'd you get a name like that?
Well, let me put it this way. You ever been to the dentist?
Yeah.
Not me. I suppose I should go to one, but I got enough pain in my life as it is.
Then we cut back to Marge and Homer, and they're both having nightmares. And Marge has this dream sequence where she's a little, we get little Marge, has the same haircut, it's really cute, little adorable Marge. And she's sad. And her mother tells her, who looks just like Marge, tells her, even if you don't feel like it, you smile. Because that tells you what, you know, how you're about their mother or something. It's basically her mother trying to make her smile so that everyone doesn't think she has a bad mother.
Basically. And the funny part is her mom looks exactly like she does with a slightly different voice.
Yeah, slightly. And this basically, you know, leads to Marge kind of waking up in a panic, worrying about Lisa. She's worried that she's going to be a bad parent and doesn't want to be. She doesn't want Lisa to be sad and most of all doesn't want to be a bad parent to her. And then we cut over to Homer, who's also having a nightmare. But in his, he's actually in the video game with Bart. They are both in the game, and he is getting pummeled while Bart insults him, saying that he's old and pathetic and weak.
Which, I mean, to be honest, he is, but
that's
rude to say.
Yes. And then he wakes up, screams, and falls right back asleep. Marge wakes him up, wipes off his drool, asks him what the problem is. And they both kind of discuss their dreams. Marge says, you know, I'm worried about Lisa. You know, Bart's such a handful. We have to pay attention to Maggie. You know, but Lisa is growing up, and, you know, I think that's part of the problem. We're not giving her enough attention. Homer talks about how, he actually is quite poignant in this. He doesn't just say, oh, I was getting my face beaten in the dream. He makes it almost, it's almost Oedipal, where he's like, I remember when I first beat my father at something. And Bart had that moment when he was four.
Four.
And I think that's the thing. Like, he doesn't want to be weak and pathetic in the eyes of Bart. He wants to be, you know, the dad. He wants, and this calls back some of the earlier episodes we watched. He's, you know, he wants to be respected. So Marge realizes Lisa is gone and pulls up in the car and says, "Get away from that awful jazz man," or whatever she, is that what she says?
I believe. Hey, so. Get away from that jazz man.
Get away from that jazz man. And then says, this is really great to me. Nothing personal. I just fear the unfamiliar.
Which, that might as well be a bumper sticker just given out to moms.
Yes, exactly. And here it is right here.
Nothing personal. I just fear the unfamiliar.
So after that, everyone's trying to cheer up Lisa. Bart tries to cheer her up with a prank phone call, and we cut to Homer going to the arcade, to Noiseland, and he gets a whole bunch of quarters and plays with the master of Slugfest, Super Slugfest.
Whose name is Howard, apparently.
Yeah, he looks like that character that in the Poochie episode, they're making fun of the fact they just have a random kid show up.
Roy?
Roy, it is Roy. So yeah, that he looks like a younger version of Roy from... the Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie episode.
I just thought it was great he made Homer bark like a dog before he gave him
it. He does, which is another Poochie thing. That's interesting.
Weird.
Yeah. He spends all his quarters and gets a lot of lessons from this kid.
Still gets the crap beaten out of him by the kid.
This kid's enough. The master, so all he has to know is glean some knowledge from him. The kid's mother shows up, shames Homer for being in an arcade. How dare an adult be in an arcade?
Oh no, not video games. They'll destroy you.
All times have changed. And then we go over to Marge taking Lisa to school. And she, at first, she gives her, before she drops her off, she gives her the same advice that her mother gave her. She says, you know, smile. Even if you don't feel like it, smile. You know, your life will be better off if you fake it. And Lisa, you know, she's an earnest kid and she respects her mother, so she does it. And she goes out into the front of the school and she gets this conversation with these kids and it's awful. It looks like it's destroying her soul in about the manner of 30 seconds.
So they're like, oh, you know, will you do my homework for me? And, you know, I'm going to take complete advantage of you. And she says, okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, sure. And Marge, like, overhearing this, flips the car around, picks her up back up and drives out down the block and talks to her again. And this is a really touching moment. He says, always be yourself. Ignore everything I said. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Always be yourself. Be sad. If you want to be sad, be sad, and we'll be here for you. And it's a really grounding moment in this episode. Lisa episodes tend to be, you know, emotionally centered because she really is the emotional and moral core of this family in a lot of ways. And this is basically saying, you know, don't fake being happy if you're sad. Be sad, and we'll be here when you're not. And it's really great and touching.
Well, I think it's actually a really great character moment for Marge as well, because it's obvious as Marge's upbringing was probably a similar upbringing to most of our parents had, who, you know, the appearances mattered far more than what you were actually feeling. So you just looked great and everyone was happy, or at least pretended to be. And this is Marge growing and saying, you know what? My mom was wrong. We're going to do this better.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about that myself when I was watching this. I'm like, this is very much in a rejection of a lot of those baby boomer kind of ideals, or at least her parents' generation, which was the 50s generation or 60s generation, which has changed now that this series is 25 years older. But this show, in a lot of ways, is a rejection of a lot of those ideals. And that is a big way in which they show it, and how they deal with how they parent is a thing that is returned to over and over and over again in the show. And this is a really great moment in that it does. It shows Marge rejecting her mother. And I think it's interesting in that in the B plot of the story is basically kind of a Homer and Bart version of the same thing, where Lisa is, you know, she starts smiling after that. She's happier now. And I think that just being accepted for what she is, I think that is one thing that just makes her happier. We cut back to Homer and Bart on the couch playing the game again. And Bart's like, all right, Dad, this is the last time. If I beat you, this is it. We're not playing ever again. And Homer, using his tips he learned from Howard at the arcade, he starts destroying Bart. And just before he's about to deliver the knockout punch, Marge unplugs the video game.
Because the video game is not important.
Not important at all. And it crushes Homer. He just falls and crumples to the floor.
Well, it's funny because in No Disgrace Like Homer, I was like, oh, Homer's the problem. Homer's the problem. Does anyone ever stop to think that, wow, they don't treat him very well?
I know. They don't just let him finish. All he had to do was punch him one more time and he gets his first victory. But instead, it ends and Bart declares his retirement from video boxing so that Homer can never beat him. Marge says, I have something. Lisa has a really great idea. Something that'll be fun for all of us. And they go to the jazz club, which is called the Jazz Hole. Another great name. And they watch Bleeding Gums play Lisa's song that she sang earlier in the episode. I was touched on this earlier that Homer, he wants to be respected by Bart. And then it's really interesting how this episode confronts so forwardly. Like, I didn't get any of this as a kid. But watching this now, you really see these themes are front and center.
Well, it's true. It's like they're basically a repudiation, like you said, of the boomer aesthetic. Because in all of the TV shows in the 50s and 60s, at least the mainstream ones, the parents and the kids had this hard delineation where the parents were the adults, the kids were the kids. The kids respected the adults because they were adults, not because they deserved it. Where here you have the writers saying, no, that just leads to a weird separation between the generations. What you should do is listen to your kids and treat them like people. Immature people, but still people. And I mean, it even goes so far as to have Homer playing the video game and enjoying that, which at the time, video games were so new, everyone thought, oh, they're just for kids. I mean, the response to Homer in the arcade was very typical of people back then. And this leads people to think, well, maybe parents should do what their kids do sometimes.
Yeah. The other really interesting thing I about this episode that stood out to me is the dichotomy between Mr. Largo and Bleeding Gums. Like, Mr. Largo is the authority. He's the music teacher at the school, and he wants to, and even, like, they overtly talk about him crushing creativity.
That's true. It's funny, because in the later episode, when Lisa creates the quilt, she has, in her space, she has both Mr. Largo and Bleeding Gums as her inspirations, you know, one that can teach her that even the most beautiful music can have its soul ripped out and be played mechanically. And I think we all know which one that one is.
Yes. And then we see Bleeding Gums, who is like, just like basically a street musician, like this jazz man. And he's the one who inspires her. He wants her to be creative. And I think that's really interesting that the scary guy on the street corner playing a saxophone is the good guy. And the guy at the school is the guy that is trying to, like, destroy your spirit. And it gets to the heart of the show very quickly. And, like, without, you know, wasting a lot of time.
It goes all the way back to the repudiation of authority for authority's sake. It's like, yeah, authority is good sometimes, but you still got to question it. Because sometimes, you know, you'll find something wrong. And in this case, they do.
Yeah. So, anything else you want to touch on this episode?
I forget. Is this or is this not the first calling into Moe's? This is the second?
No, this is the second.
Second
this
one. Okay. This is actually one of my favorites. Good old Jacques Strap.
But with that, we will go over to our listener question of the week. Listener question of this week was, what is your favorite brand from The Simpsons? And we got a lot of great answers. I think the most was Duff. And I think Duff is probably one of the most recognizable brands that from The Simpsons. I have a Duff mug or a glass, I should say, like a pint glass. So I'm one of them. But Duff is probably the most prolific answer. I got a selection of them from our different social medias. And I'll read them now. We have at Roger Wong on Twitter. For lucky best wash, use Mr. Sparkle. Joint venture of Matsumura Fishworks and Tamara Bucci Heavy Manufacturing Concern. Which I love Mr. Sparkle. That's a great episode. Sam, at The Lady Vader. Duff Beer is the best. Between the Duff Park and Duff Man, it's nonstop laughs and fun with Duff. And that is just one of the many answers for Duff. Duff got a lot of fans. We have Davis on Facebook. I know it's not as ubiquitous as Duff. I think it actually had one appearance, but I'm a big fan of Seldom Break, which is makes its appearance in the monorail episode. I like that. He says it's only one show, but it does really stand out. It's a great gag. I whacked a job on Reddit. I'm posting questions to the Simpsons subreddit. It's a great subreddit. You guys should check it out if you're on the Reddit. It's a lot of constant Simpsons, and it's a great place. Mods are nice enough to let me post our questions there weekly. And he says, it's a crusty kind of Christmas, brought to you by LLG, selling your body's chemicals after you die, and by Little Sweetheart Cupcakes, a subsidiary of ILG. Which is, that's great. That has like three gags in that one catchphrase. It has like three gags in it, which is really good, really good. Matt, what is your favorite brand from The Simpsons?
Well, I'm going to have to go with something a little common, and for a few specific reasons. The Krusty brand, I think, is one of my favorites, just because of the incredible variety they pack into it. But two in particular are Krusty Land and the Krusty Day Camp from Camp Krusty that just are phenomenal. I mean, we grew up obviously very near to Disney World, so the Krusty Land episode reveals a lot of truths that, you know, we know very intimately.
Yes, about theme parks.
Yeah.
Disney in particular. That episode really is, it's a, mine would have to be, I usually tip my hand which readers' answers I choose to read, and Mr. Sparkle is mine. It is a ridiculous brand. It's a ridiculous episode. It's Homer. It looks like Homer's face, and that whole episode that's centered around Homer trying to figure out why the hell is his face on a box of soap from Japan. And then, you know, the way that it comes together, and it's ultimately meaningless, and it's just a coincidence.
Yep.
I think that's beautiful, and I love Mr. Sparkle.
And the great part is, it's really only in that one episode, but they call back to it later, like when they go to Japan and someone recognizes him as Mr. Sparkle.
Yes, yeah, that's really good. Next week, a question. I was thinking, with this being a Lisa episode, what is your favorite Lisa episode? What do you think about that, man?
That's a good one. That's going to take some thought for me. Holy crap.
Yeah, I think I have mine, but I'm not sure. So next week we are going to do this is the Lisa episode, the very first one. So next week's question is, what is your favorite Lisa episode and why? You can tweet at us at Simpsons Show Pod, or on Facebook, The Simpsons Show Pod. You can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. You can also just go to SimpsonsShow.com. Links to all that stuff is there. Lastly, the last thing we do every week is a segment we call Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them, chronologically. Right now, our number one episode is Bart the General, and our last episode is Homer's Odyssey, which will probably stay there for quite a while. Now, This one is a tough one, man. I think this is going to be our toughest choice, our toughest one yet. Does this unseat Bart the General?
I don't know. That's, you know, Lisa is definitely my favorite character on the show by a long shot. So I want it to, but honestly, in terms of episode structure and the illusions in Bart the General, I would have to say that Bart the General still comes out on top.
Yeah, it's a really tricky thing because this is has a lot of really great character stuff in it and a lot of great lines and all that stuff we talked about by, you know, with parenting and all that, all those themes of trying to eject the baby boomer generation and television ideals of that time period. But its animation isn't quite as strong as Bart the General, and Bart the General does have just is so thematically heavy and strong with it. It's the war and its cultural allusions. Yeah, I think I have to agree with you. It's a close number two, I say. It's better than There's No Disgrace Like Home for sure.
Definitely.
So right now this is, Moaning Lisa is going to put on number two on our list right behind Bart the General. This is a tough call. As of this recording, Bart the General is the best episode ever. Maybe until next week, we'll see.
I'll probably stay that way.
What is episode do we have next, man?
Call of the Simpsons, the RV episode.
RV episode, right? Call of the Simpsons. I was wondering when we'd get to that one. So that one's next, folks. So watch along with us. I think I've already mentioned where you can find us on all our social media, and we're also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us, leave us a good review. They both help us get to higher prices on those places and get us more listeners. We really appreciate it. You can find on Twitter at MixmasterSurreal. Matt does not participate in social media.
That's true, but if you shine a laser onto a very specific part of the moon, it will reflect directly into my window, and I will decode it. Use Morse code, please.
So, it's simple as that. With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons!